Welcome to the Boyce College Podcast. Boyce College is the undergraduate school of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Please visit our website at www.boycecollege.com. And now, today's broadcast.
Well, that you're here means that you have a lot more direction in your life than I had when I was at your stage in my life. I remember when I was going to college, I really had no clue what it was I wanted to do as I was getting ready to matriculate into the state university that I went to in Louisiana, and really went my whole first year not knowing what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to be rich. My parents were school teachers, and I wasn't going to do that. I was going to do something that was going to make me some money. So I was thinking lawyer or something beloved like that. And the end of my first year in college, I shifted a little bit from that and began to think, you know, maybe I need to leave this state college. I think I may have an opportunity to go to this military academy. I kid you not, I was having delusions of grandeur. I thought I really wanted to be the president of the United States of America. I've not told anyone that before. Is this being recorded? It was really overly ambitious, but basically selfish and basically not oriented on the Word of God or what the Lord's plans were for my life. And the summer after my freshman year in college, the Lord did a mighty work in my heart at Student Week at Glorieta, New Mexico. When just a series of events happened there, the Lord gripped me. I repented of some worldliness, some of the stuff that I just told you about. And it was as if the Lord just raised the curtain and said, hey, your life is about ministry. And that was when I first felt my call to ministry, was the summer after my freshman year in college. And so I knew I had this direction, that I was going into ministry, Christian ministry from then on. And at that point, I thought that that meant I was going to be a Christian rock drummer. See, you thought this story was going somewhere else. You thought everything cleared up after Glorieta, New Mexico, and after I got this calling, I knew everything that I was about to do. Wrong. I didn't know everything that I was about to do. It took years after that for the Lord to sort of clarify and to reveal through circumstances and God's people and the church, what it was He was calling me to. And I began to realize as time went on that, drums were fine, but that wasn't what I was giving myself to. I love the Bible. I love theology. I love to preach. And this is what I wanted to do. And I knew that I was either going to preach the Word, or I was going to teach preachers, or maybe both. And this just didn't happen all at once. It didn't happen presto for me. I'm telling you this story not because I think every one of you need to take the path that I've taken in ministry or you need to end up where I am. I'm telling you this story because a lot of you are here tonight and maybe you feel some kind of a general sense of a call in your life, but you don't really know where the Lord has taken you with this. Some of you are here and you have a very specific call on your life and you think you're going in one direction, but I'm here to tell you that you may actually be going in a whole different direction. What I'm saying is, you don't have to know everything right now. It may be that some of you do, and the Lord has made that plain, but it may be for a lot of you that these next 4 years are going to be a time of clarification and of refining the vision that the Lord has given you for the ministry that He's calling you to. Don't be surprised by that or ashamed of that. Live with that and go through it. I'm here to tell you that we are excited to walk with you through that and to pray with you through that and to see the Lord grow you through that. No matter where you are, though, tonight as we begin and as you get ready to begin your studies here at Boyce College, no matter where you are, there is one thing that we all have in common and one commission that the Lord has put on our lives. And I want to sum it up in a phrase what this commission is, and the commission that I'm going to cast as a vision over all of you, and it's this. God is calling you to be a Bible-saturated herald of the gospel. I don't care if you think you're going into youth ministry, if you think you're going to be leading worship, music in a church somewhere, if you're going to go back to Africa, or if you're going to go to India, if the Lord has called you into any kind of ministry, and in some sense, every single Christian this applies to, any ministry you're going into, God has called you to be a Bible-saturated herald of the gospel. And what I want to talk to you about for a couple of minutes tonight is what I mean by Bible-saturated herald of the gospel. So let's break it in 2 points. Bible-saturated and then herald of the gospel. What do I mean by Bible-saturated? The picture I have in my mind is of a sponge filled with water. What's a sponge filled with water like? It's weighty. What happens when you squeeze it? Water comes out. That's what happens to a sponge that's saturated with water. What does it mean as a person to be Bible saturated? It means that as a person, you are weighty in the Word of God. There is a gravity to you because you have been marinating in the very living words of King Jesus. There's a weightiness to your life and to your ministry. It also means that when you get squeezed, what comes out? Bible. And the things that the Lord has taught you in His Word. So to be a Bible-saturated herald of the gospel, to be Bible-saturated, that part of it means at least 3 things. It means, first of all, that you're going to be somebody who loves the Scriptures. You love the Scriptures. You know, I think that Jesus is perhaps He is our best model in this. You remember how Jesus responded when the devil led him out in, well, actually the Spirit led him out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. You remember that? The very beginning of his ministry. And the first thing that the devil comes and says to Jesus is what? Turn these stones into bread. Jesus hasn't eaten in 40 days. He hasn't drank anything. The man is beat down with hunger and thirst. The devil says, turn these stones into bread. You can fix it now. What does Jesus say? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. For Jesus, his sustenance was not the food that his stomach was begging for. The sustenance for Jesus was the Bible. It was the word of truth. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he was quoting the Scripture. That is a verse from the Old Testament. Jesus' heart and passion was for the Word of God and even the inscripturated, the written Word of God. In fact, the Bible says Jesus taught that your love for Him is going to be manifested in how much you heed and obey Jesus' word. I'm thinking of John chapter 14. Jesus said this in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is why all over the Bible, when you see godly people in the Scriptures, you are seeing people who are transfixed on the Word of God. I'm thinking of Psalm chapter 119, beginning in verse 97. Listen to the heart of the psalmist. Oh, how I love your law. When he says law, he's thinking Old Testament Scripture, the Old Testament law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So to be a Bible-saturated person means first and foremost that you love the Bible. You love the Scriptures. And you love it not because you just love you know, ink on a page. You love it not for the sake of the pages, but for the sake of the person behind the pages. This is your entryway to know Jesus. We don't know Him apart from the Scriptures. We only see echoes of Him in nature. And there is enough in nature revealed to condemn us, but not enough to save. We need the Scriptures to know Jesus. We press into this Word because we want to know Christ, our Savior. So you've got to love the Bible. I say that up front because fundamentally, the way you feel about the Scriptures, your affections for the Scriptures are going to color everything else. If you are indifferent towards the Scriptures, that's everything. It doesn't matter if you learn the Bible or if you try to live the Bible. If you don't love the Bible, it's just legalism because you're not loving the person behind the pages. So you've got to love the Scriptures. So loving the Bible is what it means to be Bible saturated. Also, being Bible saturated means that you've got to learn the Bible, all right? We're going to teach you how to learn the Bible at Boyce College. You're going to have to, the opportunity to take Greek, the original language of the New Testament, and Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament. You are going to take exegesis classes and Bible survey classes. You're going to take systematic theology classes. You're going to learn how the whole Bible hangs together and applies to the different issues of life. That's what you're going to learn here. We're going to teach you how to learn not just what's in the Scriptures, but how the Scriptures apply to life and to ministry. So we're going to teach you the Bible. You're going to need to learn the Bible if you're going to be a Bible-saturated person. The psalmist prayed it this way: "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." That I can see what's there, what it is that you have for me, and what it is, Lord, that you're speaking to me. This is why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Do you hear that? Every minister is to handle accurately the word of truth. You cannot handle accurately the word of truth if you have not learned the word of truth. There is so much error floating around in the churches today, passing for Christianity, but it's Christianity in name only. It doesn't look anything like what Jesus or the apostles taught. And so we are going to teach you the Bible, and you're going to learn theology. And you're going to learn what the Scriptures teach. And if you're going to be Bible saturated, you've got to learn the Bible. And we are praying that the Lord will help us to help you to do that. And then finally, to be Bible saturated means that you've got to live the Bible. You've got to live it. If this remains at the level of theory, then a pox be upon all of us, right? You do not love that which you do not live. You can say you love the Bible, but if you don't live the Bible, now that is the true measure. Jesus said, "The one who keeps my commands is the one who loves me." Right? Love is proven by obedience. So we want you, in other words, to be conformed to the image of Christ in every aspect of your life. Boyce College is not going to be a replacement for the church here. Rosalind, thank you for that word. We're not a replacement for the church. You need to get in a church as quick as you can. We are no replacement for the discipleship that takes place there. I don't want to kid you on that, but we do aim to point you in the same direction that your good church is going to put you. We want you to be conformed to the image of Christ. Psalm 119, once again, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." So what I'm saying is that we want your love and your learning and your living to be oriented on the Scriptures. Because that is how you know Jesus. We want you to love the Scriptures, not for the sake of the Scriptures, but for the sake of Christ. There was a movie that came out in the early 1990s called A Walk in the Clouds. Anybody remember that movie? A Walk in the Clouds? The story begins with this guy who's been away at World War II. He's been gone for years. And he is married, and he's finally coming home to his wife, whom he hasn't seen in all this time. He's been writing her all these hundreds of letters since he's been gone. He comes home, and he finally comes to where to his house. He sees his wife. She has this appearance of being just overjoyed to see him and happy. But something is just a little wrong in the scenario because she seems a little distracted. And also, there are a couple of things that are really wrong. Number one, he's written her all of these letters, hundreds of letters since he's been gone, but she's never written him one letter back. He's written her all these letters, and he discovers when he gets to the house, she's not opened any of them or read them. She didn't look at any of them. He couldn't wait to get back home to his bride, but she hadn't even read his letters. And it turns out as the movie goes on that the reason she hadn't read his letters is because she'd been in the arms of other lovers while he was gone. And her indifference toward her husband is first revealed in her indifference to his letters. You knew she didn't love him because she didn't love what he had written. How many of us have at least some kind of a superficial sort of a sense or appearance of loving Christ, say that we're excited about his return, say we're excited to be in church or to worship or whatever, and yet we're indifferent about his word? It is impossible to be passionate about Christ and to be indifferent about his word. In fact, your passion is proven by how much you love and heed his word. And Lord, help us if the reason that we're not in his word is because we're in the arms of other lovers and other idols. So we want you to be Bible saturated. That's what we want. And then also we want you to be heralds of the gospel. All I mean by that is this: a herald. What's a herald do? A herald is someone who announces something. A herald is somebody who preaches a message. That's what a herald is. And what we are heralding here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the King and Lord of the universe, has been crucified and risen for sinners. That is the gospel we preach, and we will preach it to everyone who will hear it. And we will call them to be converted and to repent and to believe this gospel. The gospel of Jesus is for sinners. So we are calling you to be Bible-saturated heralds of the gospel. Why Bible-saturated heralds of the gospel? If you're not Bible-saturated, your gospel will eventually get corrupted. And you will start turning the gospel into something else than the simple message that it is. And the grace-filled message that it is. And it will soon turn to legalism and something that doesn't save. Bible-saturated heralds of the gospel. And if you would be a faithful herald of the gospel, you will preach this word in three directions. I want you to think of it this way. Preaching the word in three directions. The first direction you're going to preach the gospel is to yourself. Every single one of us need to be announcing the gospel to ourselves. You cannot announce the gospel to others if you're not announcing it to yourself. And I mean to emphasize, I mean right now, announcing it to yourself. It has to be this way because you and I sin too much. Right? Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you. Meaning he had preached to them, he'd evangelized them, they had got converted by the gospel. He says, this gospel you received and in which also you stand. Right now, by which also right now you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. The Bible teaches everywhere that the same gospel that saves us is the gospel that sustains us in our faith. We will walk away from Jesus if we ever walk away from the message of Jesus Christ crucified and raised for us. You sin too much to walk away from this message. If you try to comfort your heart by saying, I'm going to obey a law, or I'm somehow going to become so good that I don't have to feel guilty anymore about my sins, you have lost it. You need the gospel now as much as you did when you first believed it. Your only comfort now is what it was then. It's that Jesus Christ is your substitute before God, who was crucified and took God's punishment upon himself for you. I'm going to blow it with my wife probably tonight or tomorrow. I'm going to be so filled with my own conceit and arrogance, and I'm going to regret it. And I'm going to say something that makes somebody cry. And I'm going to say, how have I been a Christian so long and I'm still doing this? I can't clean up my act enough to ever feel good about that. I need Jesus right now. And I have to look away from myself and look to Him alone for the forgiveness of my sins, because I can't atone for my sins and neither can you. If you're going to be a herald of the gospel, preach the gospel to yourself every day. The same gospel that saved you will be the gospel that sustains you. Some of you in here, you know, I'm not a prophet, but I'm pretty sure that you're not going to be able to not sin this semester, okay? But some of you in here, you don't need another sin right now to feel guilty. You feel guilty about what you did last night, or last week, or last year. And you have got to be preaching the gospel to yourself and clinging to Jesus for grace. Only when you herald the gospel to yourself will you be able to live and herald the gospel with integrity to others. So also, heralding the gospel is not just to yourself, it is to others. You have to herald it to yourself. You've got to herald it to your neighbor. This is our vision for you. We want you to be evangelists. We want you to share the gospel with other people, to be Great Commission type people. And I mean your neighbor, people that are close to you, people that you see on the street and the people that you live by. And in your ministries, we want you to herald the gospel to other Christians. If you need the gospel, you can bet the people that you minister to, they need the gospel. And they don't need a preacher or a minister or a children's worker who doesn't preach the gospel to them, even after they're saved. And you have got to be a faithful herald of the gospel. This is what we do when we take the Lord's Supper, isn't it? Paul said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Who are we proclaiming the Lord's death to? Well, first of all, each other. It's us taking this meal together, right? We have got to preach the gospel to our neighbor and to one another. And then also, to be a faithful herald of the gospel means to herald the gospel to the nations. And I'm not going to say much about this, but let me read Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm not going to say a bunch about this text tonight, because Monday night, students, our first dorm meeting, which is all the on-campus students meet together in this room, and we are going to begin that night with a message on that text, on the Great Commission. And this will be our kickoff theme for the year, the Great Commission. But if you're going to be a herald of the gospel, you will be someone who cares about taking the gospel to the nations, which means that you will either be sending or you will be going. But if you would be faithful, you will be doing one of those two things. And I'm going to be praying this year, a lot of us are going to be praying this year, that God will be calling out more of you to go to the nations with the gospel. So this is how we are going to commission you tonight. We are going to pray for you students that God would make you into Bible-saturated heralds of the gospel. Believers who love the Word, who learn the Word and who live the Word, who herald the gospel to themselves and to their neighbor and to the nations.
Thank you for listening to the Boyce College Podcast. For more audio resources and information about Boyce College, please visit our website at www.boycecollege.com.